appreciate all the prayers from all the brethren and all the letters and all the emails and messages we've gotten. We do have some good news on behalf of Mom. So she's right now at the halfway point with her treatment. We did see the surgeon this past Tuesday and the oncologist on Thursday, and they were actually both very surprised, and because both lesions or tumors in her right lung and her liver are actually down in size by half. So truly a blessing, and they're both pleasantly surprised and shocked. So we obviously know that God is in charge first, and he's the best doctor out there, and for imparting that wisdom on them. So she's responding so well to the treatment that they're going to, for now, disregard the surgery that they had planned for her liver. The oncologist is faithful and optimistic that the best thing right now is for her to finish the treatment. So we're talking about probably a week before the Feast of Tabernacles is when she's going to be done with her chemo, God willing. So I would just ask everyone to continue to pray for Mom, and we're all, Martin Jr., Mom and I, are always grateful for everyone's prayers, and we're hoping that after the feast in October, November, then they'll do the surgery to remove the bag, but we'll do that much later in the fall. So, but right now it's basically the treatment and obviously God's intervention, so thank you everybody for that. Much appreciated. Okay, brother, let's begin today's sermon in the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verses 3 through 6. Here we will read about David's words of praise to God that will serve as the foundation for our topic for today that God has given us. Psalms, chapter 8, verses 3 through 6, reading out of the Modern English Version. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have established, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you attend to him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." David presents the words of how important it is for God to have created mankind. David alludes praise and glory for God for everything he created, including the comparison of man with the angels. God had specific purposes in mind for when he made mankind, and it was through God's own mind, especially when it came to making everything associated with our lives today, that we will be looking at for the sermon today. I've titled today's sermon, Spiritual Mindset. Spiritual Mindset. This message will look at the point of view, mindset, adaptation, attitude, and overall goal for God when he created us. The mindset God has in our life is critical to understand the nature for why he did everything the way he did. Just like we read in the verses here in Psalms. Specifically, in verse 4 where it states, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you attend to him?" This first part of the sermon will center on the attention God has given man throughout his time on this physical earth, and allow us to see just how important it is for God's mindset in our life to be present. There can be no denying the importance thereof. Secondly, we will be looking at the other side of the coin when it comes to this topic, and that is to avoid a carnal mindset. We all know that Satan and his demons are out there, day by day, doing their best to attempt to make life very difficult for us as God's chosen few. The elements of the carnal mind are important because it allows for a deeper understanding into the main issues we face living in society as the world is today. An incorrect mindset can have negative consequences for our relationship with God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and how we make decisions will render our choices in life. Thirdly, we will examine how to follow Christ's mindset and look at several examples in Scripture that will allow us to know just how Christ had a particular and unique mindset to everything he approached during his ministry on this earth. By following the example of Christ, we can learn to deviate from whatever the world throws at our direction. Speaking of the world, you might be asking yourself, why do I need the correct mindset? Why is it important for me to know? Will this help me better my relationship with God and our Messiah? Well, brethren, the answer will lie once we dive into the topics and elements we will cover for today. Our society is prefaced with a certain mindset in consideration, and that is to follow the things of the world. Have you seen the news lately about the importance mankind places on everything except God himself? The constant struggle for man is to know what needs to be done next, that the mind needs to be focused on everything done from a certain list, from a certain perspective that does not involve God. Trust me, if mankind developed a proper mindset, the world will not be as corrupt as we know it to be today. The world wants mankind to focus on everything wrong with every element you can imagine. That does not include spiritual awareness, our relationship with God, or the preaching of the gospel of Christ. It's always centered on what needs to be done next. Where do I need to go? What I must do? What needs to be taken care of from this physical world? However, very little to no thought at all is given to the things of God, our Messiah, and the Holy Spirit, because Satan and his demons only want us to be concerned with everything that we don't have any control over. Of course, I'm not saying that we should just forget about everything we do in life. Remember, God is a God of order. What I want you to know, understand, and keep in the back of your mind as we go along with the sermon for today, is that the correct mindset will always have to place God first, his Son, Jesus the Christ, and asking the Holy Spirit for the guidance we need in life. We cannot achieve absolutely nothing without placing God first in our mind, and our mindset must be set on the things based on the spiritual side of things, and less on the physical. We're all human, of course, far from perfection, but we can always improve on what it means the most to have in mind for the things of God. The world wants you to rely on your fellow man for all of the answers to everything in life. However, God is clear, as we will see through his word in our hands today. And daily, I pray that our mindset must be centered on him always. We cannot have the correct mindset if we think that we can do this all by ourselves without divine intervention. Let's look at some brief background into the topic we will be covering for today, and that is the word mindset. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word mindset means, 1, a mental attitude or inclination, 2, a fixed state of mind. Also, the word mindset has two meanings from the Strong's Concordance, though there is no literal translation for the word mindset itself, but but it is closely associated with the word mind. Strong's 3563, from the Greek word nous, which is spelled N-O-U-S, meaning the intellect, meaning the mind. The reason and faculty, intellect. Strong's 5012, from the Greek word, I'm not even going to attempt to spell this correctly, tapeinophrosun, which is spelled T-A-P-E-I-N-O-P-H-R-O-S-U-N-E, meaning humility, lowliness of mind, or modesty. Now that we have some background into the topic we'll be looking at for today's sermon, let's look at the first area of knowing how to have the correct mindset. And that is how we must understand God's mindset in our life. Throughout His creation, our Heavenly Father always had the making of mankind in consideration, especially when it came to His plan for all of us. God made everything, as we just read in the opening verses earlier, knowing full well that mankind will be made in His image and a little less than the angels above. This means that our Heavenly Father instilled the mentality and mindset into all of us, each one unique to every single person who has ever lived and will ever live on this earth. Also, God's mindset in our life is the preamble of how we must continue to develop our daily Christian character by knowing that God's ways, commandments, and love for His laws could always be a part of us daily. God's mindset in our life develops strong Christian attributes based on the fruits of the Spirit that allow us to know that we should have a spiritual mindset based on how to please God and live according to His statutes. There is no alternative to this mindset, because the opposite will be living with the mindset of the world, something we will get into a bit later as we go along with the main message for today. A spiritual mindset sets us apart as God's called and chosen few to determine how we deal with the day-to-day events in our lives. Also, a mindset that is focused on the Spirit will also allow us to handle the most difficult and trying times in our lives. There can be no better preparation on our part than to have the perspective of how God wants us to think, react, and have in our mind at all times. Because it is through how our minds are focused that we can actually live accordingly. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, and we'll pick up a few verses there. Isaiah, chapter 26, beginning in verse 1 through verse 4. It says, "In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He appoints walls and bulwarks for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one who remains faithful. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." And dropping down to verses 7 and 8, here in Isaiah 26, it says, "The way of the righteous is smooth, O upright one. Make the path of the righteous level. In the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. The desire of our souls is your name, even your memory." Isaiah presents the component that the Lord God will sustain us and strengthen us through his peace that no other person can provide in our life. Also, Isaiah makes the point that God will provide us with the peace of mind we need to overcome daily struggles, because our mind is focused solely on him and his ways. Our complete and total trust must remain in God at all times, knowing that he will deliver us from the most troubling moment. God's mindset in our lives begins with our trust in his ways, his statutes, and his will. Once we acknowledge that and know within our hearts, full of faith, that this is how we should live, we can truly be at peace with God's mindset presence. Let's turn to the book of Romans now, chapter 12, verses 10 through 18. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 18. It says, "Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Prefer one another in honor. Do not be lazy in diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not pretend to be wiser than you are. Repay no one evil for evil. Commend what is honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peacefully with all men." Paul elaborates the importance of all the traits and characteristics we must have and put into practice daily. We must not deviate specifically on our own character to what God expects our mindset to be. It's difficult to do in our life, but not impossible. The verses we just read are also a reminder of what our daily mindset needs to be as it pertains to Christian development of faith, forgiveness, and patience. It is incredibly hard, I know it must be for all of us, to have the spiritual mindset with a positive attitude 100% of the time, every day of your life. We are human, and sometimes our human nature takes over when situations come up. Trials ensue, and tribulations are upon us. It is incredibly hard as well to assimilate every single bad situation that happens with our life with a smile, with a positive attitude, and with our heads held high. However, we must acknowledge that each situation God gives us is a testament to the love he has for us. His mindset for us is to know that we should practice our faith the most when life gets the worst for us. Let's continue in this thought process by Paul now by turning to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the laying of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the sufferings of the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not by our works, but by his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul's words are the bar that is set before us. God in Christ knew our very existence way before we were born. They both knew who we would become, and that we would need the power, love, of a sound mind. God in Christ knew and developed our calling. It is critically important for each of us to understand that our own calling did not come out of our own mindset, out of our own heart, without any intervention from God and our Messiah. No, brethren, we were chosen at the specific and certain point in our life where God in Christ knew that we will be chosen to fulfill the great purpose as God's called out brethren. Events and situations will present themselves in our life. Difficult, painful, and hurtful, both physically and emotionally. However, we do not possess the spirit of fear because God and Christ want us to have the mindset that everything that happens in our life is in their hands. Also, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we know that we are not truly alone, and God has a purpose for all in life. Remember that any time you are going through tough times. Not easy, of course, I can assure you of that, but always trust in the purpose God has for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. A very familiar verse to all of us, I'm sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be patient toward everyone. We are commanded to watch out for those that are faint-hearted, who do not have the spiritual fortitude to continue along with the process and fortitude God has set out for us to do. We are to instill the mindset that we have on those who do not have the spiritual awareness to know what is happening to us. Also, we have the support. We have to support those who are weak and do not have the mindset to be patient with everyone. Something difficult, I'm sure, because of the kind of people we deal with, especially if they are of this world without God's truth. However, our mindset on what God expects from us is important to have, especially during the times we are living in this day and age." Let's look at the second element for the sermon today, and that is that we must avoid a carnal mindset. And this second element will go along with what we just heard last week from the CD sermon from Mr. Russell, given 10 years ago, that he talked about the carnal mindset, so we'll see a lot of similar verses, but as you can see, God's word is the same always, yesterday, today, and forever. So, Satan and his demons are constantly attempting to derail us from the path God has set out for us to do. There are times throughout the day, night, weeks, months, and years in our life where we are tested, tried, and tempted to go away from what God's word has taught us to do, an attempt to just depend on our carnal and human mind to take over. Whether it's at home, work, or anywhere, we are tested each time. Every week of every year, because Satan only wants to keep as many people as possible deceived and away from God's truth as possible. He knows his time is short, and the fact that God chose us means that we must be on alert, maintain the high ground, and use the tools and weapons God has given us in our life to battle in this spiritual warfare between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. Our thought process must be clear. A carnal mindset only leads to worse situations. The hardening of heart and ill-advised decisions made. Let's turn back to the book of Romans again. This time, chapter 8. Verses 7 through 8. Let's read what Paul has to say about the carnal mind. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 8. It says, "For the carnal mind is hostile toward God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Now the key word in these verses is hostile, which in verse 7 is Strong's 2189, from the Greek word ekthra, which is spelled E-C-H-T-H-R-A, meaning enmity, hostility, or alienation. Paul addresses how a carnal mind is not fit to please God. We cannot be in the wrong mindset because God's laws are not a part of it. We must be spiritually mindful of our actions. Also, it is important to note that, as Paul said in verse 8, we cannot please God if we are on the flesh. And the mindset needs to be that our spirit remain true to the faith. The belief and the attitude that we cannot be hostile toward the law of God. By having a carnal mind, we are going against everything God has established in His law, and we cannot be in agreement with the commandments of God if we are constantly putting on the carnal mind. We do not want to be hostile or alienating our Heavenly Father by having the wrong mentality. Let's continue this thought process now by turning back to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Anyone who teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to godly doctrine, is conceited and knows nothing. He has a morbid disposition for controversy and verbal disputes, from which come envy, strife, blasphemies, evil speculations, constant disputes by men of corrupt mind, being destitute of the truth, and supposing that financial gain is godliness. Withdraw yourself from such men." This is a prime example of how not to be in the right mindset. If we are only focused on the things of the world, and our character is affected, we cannot, under any circumstance, be on the correct mindset. The words expressed by Paul to Timothy present ample evidence that we cannot be on the correct mindset, on the correct path through the example of Jesus the Christ, if we are solely focused on what is wrong with people, looking and getting into arguments just to get and have one, and being associated with only monetary gain from everything that happens in our life. These things are only associated with the world. And gaining everything physically in this world without regard for God's truth does not result in the spiritual mindset for salvation for any person. Corruption only breeds corruption. And our mindset must be set on the things of our Heavenly Father. Let's continue in this thought process by turning just a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read the second part of verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading now the second part of verse 8. It says, "Men of corrupt minds and worthless concerning the faith." You cannot be good in the faith if we are just continually left with corruption in mind. Corruption of God's word and truth, which is exactly what Satan and his demons want us to do. This is not the spiritual mindset needed in our lives. Let's turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 8, once again. This time, reading verses 5 through 8. These verses should seem very familiar to all of us, as they were also used during the CD sermon last week that we heard from Mr. Russell in talking about making wise and unwise choices. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is hostile toward God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Our hearts and minds cannot be on the things of the flesh, because we cannot be in enmity against God. We can only please God if we are spiritually minded above all things of the flesh. There are no positive outcomes or results from having a carnal mind. We are in a constant spiritual battle against forces of our adversary, Satan and his demons, who are out there to test us day by day until we change our complete mindset from a spiritual one to a carnal one. This is exactly what we must avoid at all costs, brethren. We are not to let the enemy get inside of us and change what we have come to learn. That is exactly what Satan deceiving the world does. The path of a carnal mind only leads to the destruction in the end, both physically and internally. We cannot be allowed our hearts and minds to be corrupted by what God has already instilled in our hearts. Let's look at the third and final area for today's sermon, and that is that we must follow Christ's mindset through the examples learned from Scripture. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, it seemed throughout his time on this earth that there were always situations pertaining to his life in his daily activities where his mindset was key to overcoming any and all obstacles he would face. There are numerous examples throughout the New Testament and how the apostles characterized the importance after the resurrection of our Messiah of having the correct mindset of how to approach the daily activities of life. Our daily mindset needs to be predicated on the premise of knowing that Jesus the Christ enabled the ultimate example that each and every one of us should follow, especially when it comes to dealing with the things of the world. There is an ongoing spiritual battle that happens in each of our lives, and our approach to how we tackle the everlasting problems that seem to always catch up to us, always happen, and always be present will be a key instrument into how good or bad we will handle it in the first place. Christ personified the proper mindset of how to go about knowing that he knew his Father, our Heavenly Father, would always be with him at all times. There was never any doubt in the mind of Christ that God would always give him the comfort, peace, and ease of mind for everything that he was about to partake of in his journey. The physical journey of Christ on this earth symbolizes the correct spiritual mindset that we all must emulate as well. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. Here we will read about Paul's words to the Corinthian church as it relates to the example Christ set for all of us to follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. It says, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove through the authenticity of others, the sincerity also of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. And in this matter I give you my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year not only to give, but also to willingly give. Now therefore complete the task, so that as there was a willingness to do so, there may be a performance of it according to your means. For if there is a willing mind first, the gift is accepted according to what a man possesses, and not according to what he does not possess." Paul encourages us to have the Christ-like mentality. We have to understand that a willing mind is one that Christ's time on this earth resembled the richness brought forth from his ministry. Not physically rich, but spiritually rich in the abundance of his faith and doings. Christ also came to this earth filled with the richness that God entrusted in him. And Christ made himself poor, just like a regular man, to demonstrate the true nature of how our character must be, to focus on the inside and our spiritual mindset, not on what we physically have in this world, and be occupying our minds with the physical possessions of this world. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians now. We'll pick up several verses there as we continue to look at Christ's mindset as our example. Let's begin in Philippians chapter 1, verses 25 through verse 30. Philippians chapter 1, verses 25 through 30. It says, "Having this confidence, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your joyful advancement of the faith, so that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ when I am in your presence again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether or not I come and see you, I may hear of your activities, that you are standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do not be frightened by your adversaries. This is a sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this from God. For to you it was granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Paul's instructions are clear for all of us. We have to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We have to stand with one mind, knowing full well where our spirit is in life. Paul also explains to us that the road ahead for all who want to set the example and follow Christ's hand on this earth is not easy. In fact, it will never be easy in our life. You might be asking yourself, is this really never going to end? Will the suffering, the pain, the problems ever go away? Well, brethren, verse 29 makes it very clear when it says that we not only believe in Christ, but that we also are to suffer for his sake. And this is the job and responsibility that God and Christ have entrusted us to carry out. God's calling on our life is a symbol that we must uphold the mindset set by Christ. Suffering is not meant to be permanent. It is meant to develop godly Christian character into the faith that is the solution that God and Christ provide with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are to let our conduct speak for ourselves and make sure we maintain our mind aligned with the words we are reading in Scripture. Let's turn over just a few pages now to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here Paul mentions the importance of our humility as Christians and how to imitate Christ's humility as well. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any compassion and mercy, then fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being in unity with one mind. Let nothing be done out of strife or conceit, but in humility let each esteem the other better than himself. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let this mind be in you all, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul once again illustrates the importance of having the mindset of Christ, that we should be encouraged, knowing that our consolation is in our own conduct, through Christ's example and presence. We must be of one mind, the Christ-like mind, in everything we do, in love and joy, because this mindset is what will ultimately prevail for all of us to be correct, standing with God and our Messiah. We must be humble and not do anything with a negative mindset or corrupt mindset at hand. Let's continue here in the book of Philippians. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let everyone come to know your gentleness. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with gratitude, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are exalted to leave everything in God's hand. We will go through difficult times, but even in this we will be. We must continually pray to God, and our hearts and minds will be at peace through Christ Jesus. Never forget that, brethren. A correct and proper spiritual mindset consists of knowing that God's mindset plays an important role and part in our lives. We must understand that God's mindset wants the best for all of us. Also, His Word, commandments, statutes, and instructions are all based on the law of the Spirit and how we must proceed with our lives daily. However, we must beware and alert not to fall into the carnal mindset, because our adversary, Satan and his demons, will attempt to derail us from our connection with a spiritual mindset with God and Christ. Finally, we need to follow Christ's attitude and mindset and know that we must be of one mind to have the best chance of success for our life and be seen as good in the eyes of our Creator and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let's conclude today's sermon in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 7 through 14. It says, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honorable, whether or not we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. We wish even your perfection. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest, being present, I should be sharp, according to the authority which the Lord has given me, for edification and not for destruction. Finally, brothers, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." That does conclude my message for today.